In this second lecture of Unit 7, Component 2, we will continue our discussion of quality measurement and improvement. We will further explore the topics of definitions and operationalization of quality measurement and improvement, and then we will look at a number of widely used quality measures. The remainder of the topics listed on this slide will be covered in the following lectures. Let's start with a discussion of some definitions and how we operationalize them. So what exactly is healthcare quality? While there are certainly a number of definitions, one of the thought leaders in healthcare quality, Don Abendian, stated in 1988 in his first book on healthcare quality that it is that kind of care which is expected to maximize an inclusive measure of patient welfare after one has taken account of the balance of expected gains and losses that attend the process of care in all its parts. Another definition was put forth by Lohr, who was the lead author on an Institute of Medicine report published in 1990. He defined quality as the degree to which health services for individuals and populations increase the likelihood of desired outcomes and are consistent with current professional knowledge. These definitions and others were reviewed by Blumenthal in 1996. Fast forwarding to the current century, where we are in an era of rising costs, and we have concerns about the quality of care that is delivered. There is a growing recognition that physicians must have some amount of public accountability. Yet it is not clear that we know all of the right things to do when it comes to improving quality. So the research, in terms of looking at how to best implement quality and achieve results, and the practice that research engenders are still evolving, as described by this recent paper by Don Berwick, another leader in the quality movement. Don Abendian has developed a model of quality with three categories of quality measures. The first of these are structural measures, which are factors that make it easier or harder to deliver high-quality care. We will see some examples of these in the next slide, but these are things like hospital location, patient volume, whether the hospital is associated with a teaching institution, and so forth. The second category is process measures. These are factors that describe healthcare content and activities, such as how much screening is done and how much established practice guidelines are adhered to. Finally, there are outcomes, measures, or changes that are attributable to care, such as the mortality rate, morbidity, and functional status. These are then implemented and measured at different levels at an institution, such as the individual practitioner, the departments, and the organization as a whole. On this slide is a table that lists the types of quality measures going down the rows and the levels at which quality is measured. The individual, the department, the organization, across the columns. Some of the structural measures are whether individuals are professionally certified, whether departments have appropriate staffing, and whether an organization has various licensures. Process measures are things like performance evaluation of individuals, monitoring of their productivity, reviewing their performance indicators at the department level, how much screening they have done, and stated adherence to guidelines. Outcomes are really what we ultimately want to measure. Do patients actually do better? Do they obtain better health? So we want to measure things like practice profiles of individuals' errors at departmental levels, and mortality rates, and quality sanctions at organizational levels. Let us explore a little further this notion of process versus outcomes. As we will see, many quality measures are actually measuring process or the care being provided. But the reality is that we want quality measures that measure outcomes, how patients actually do, how their health improves, or how their safety is increased. Outcomes represent what actually happens to the patient. But outcomes can be difficult to measure and also have confounding factors. We may provide the highest quality of process care, but for some reason unrelated to that care, the patient has a bad outcome. So we might want to know whether there is a relationship between process and outcome. In some areas, such as acute coronary syndrome, there is a strong correlation between the two, the process measures that are undertaken, and the outcomes that result. But in other areas, the relationship is not as strong. In particular, we know that satisfaction with care, oftentimes, does not have a correlation with its technical quality, in that patients may feel satisfied with the care that they have received, but it may not be of the best technical quality. We also know that the science behind care changes. For example, the clinical thinking about the tightness of control of diabetes has changed over the years. Some of these changes get incorporated into quality measures, but it may turn out that the science of care has changed, so the quality of measures need to change. Sometimes there is not consensus on the best care. For example, there is a lot of interest, especially in regards to safety, about drugs to avoid in the elderly. But it turns out that it is difficult to achieve consensus on what those drugs actually are. So if we are going to assess quality, we need to measure it. Landon has advocated that quality measures should be based on the best evidence that we know for healthcare delivery. There should be agreed-upon standards for satisfactory performance by clinicians. There should be standardized specifications so clinicians know what to expect, and performance can be compared across different departments or institutions. There should be an adequate sample size so we have reliable estimates of the quality. There should be some mechanism for adjusting for confounding patient factors such as comorbidity, the number of coexisting illnesses, and socioeconomic status. We should have measures that can be attributed to individual physicians or other practitioners. It needs to be feasible to collect these measures, and the measures should be representative of the activities of the specialty, perhaps not everything the specialty does, but a good representative sample of different things that physicians in a specific specialty do. Another thing to remember about quality measures is that they have to consist of data. And people in many contexts often quote Edward Deming, the famous statistician who said, "In God we trust, all others bring data." Which means that for all of us humans, we need to bring data to measure quality and act on it. Let's talk about some other definitions. Another term that gets discussed often in the context of quality is pay for performance, sometimes abbreviated as P4P. In fact, some people equate quality assessment with pay for performance, but it is important to remember that pay for performance is just one approach to measuring and acting on healthcare quality. The notion behind pay for performance is that healthcare should be held accountable financially for what it does. But of course, healthcare needs to be accountable in other ways as well. However, it is not the only way to bring about improvements in the quality of healthcare. Another term is value-based purchasing, which is really just an application of pay for performance. Value-based purchasing means that we make decisions to purchase healthcare based on quality, and we may decide to not purchase healthcare from a hospital or a physician or physician group. The adoption among employers of value-based purchasing has been relatively modest, even though employers employ value-based purchasing on everything else. For example, car manufacturers will look at the value of the steel that they purchase, and the food industry will look at the quality of food. Yet with the healthcare that employers provide to their employees, there is very little in the way of seeking value. Of course, part of the motivations for the healthcare quality movement is to change that. Now that we have discussed what we know about quality, we will talk about some of the ways that it can be measured. That will then lead us into discussions of how we make those measurements and apply them to try to improve the quality of care. One warning with quality measures is that there are probably too many of them, and they are constantly changing. There are different sets, and they have different acronyms, so in the slides that follow in the rest of this lecture, we will provide an overview of some of the major efforts. This is an overview, so for anyone who is seriously moving to implement quality measures, you will want to drill down further into the details. As stated earlier, Berwick noted that we are early in the science of quality improvement. What exactly is that science? There is an Institute of Medicine report that describes the science behind healthcare quality assessment. There have been many measures that have been developed, and these reflect different perspectives, somewhat like standards. AHRQ maintains a clearinghouse of the different types of measures that are available, where they are being used, and so forth. But there is clearly a growing consensus that we need to develop standardized sets so that we can implement them in standardized ways and obtain value from them. In the remaining slides, we will talk about specific quality measures from different perspectives. The perspective of health plans, the perspective of outpatient medicine, and finally, the perspective of inpatient medicine. First, we will discuss health plans. Why health plans? Well, there is a historic role here. Health plans were among the first to measure quality, at least as process measures, and act on it. They should be noted and commended for being pioneers in this area. And in fact, there is a healthcare quality measurement set called HIDIS, the Health Plan Employer Data and Information Set, developed by NCQA, which has 60 measures that are mainly healthcare process measures used to evaluate health plans, and particularly health maintenance organizations. The NCQA reports, which were covered in the previous lecture, calculate lives saved based on outcomes that occur from adherence to these process measures. HIDIS has a number of categories and then specific measures within those categories. There are effectiveness of care measures, like childhood and adult immunization, use of beta blockers after myocardial infarction, screening for various types of cancer, and a number of measures related to chronic diabetes care. There are also measures on access and availability to care, such as access to preventive health measures, how available primary care providers are, and how soon prenatal care is initiated after a woman has been diagnosed as being pregnant. There are also measures related to satisfaction with care, including member satisfaction surveys and the use of various services such as preventive measures. These measures allow health plans to compare themselves to other health plans. What about quality measures for the outpatient setting? This is an area where there have been many different types of measures and even confusion around what should be measured for a given patient, for a given insurer, and the like. There has been an effort in recent years to standardize quality measures in the outpatient setting. This led to the formation of the Ambulatory Care Quality Alliance, also called AQA, or AQUA, which developed a starter set of quality measures. These measures were endorsed by the major primary care associations, such as the American College of Physicians and American Academy of Family Physicians, as well as the health plans. Another activity of quality in the outpatient setting is under the Medicare plan in the U.S., or the Physician Quality Reporting Initiative, PQRI. This program has stepped up the amount of quality measures each year, but basically operates by providing a small, in this case 2%, reimbursement increase in Medicare payment for both reporting on what are becoming a relatively large number of measures and also reporting the use of e-prescribing. In 2009, PQRI had a total of 153 measures that participating physicians were required to report on to get an extra 2% payment. AQUA measures fall into 8 main categories, representing the major diseases and activities that primary care physicians deal with. These include prevention of coronary heart disease, heart failure, diabetes, asthma, depression, prenatal care, and quality measures that address overuse or misuse of healthcare resources. One concern about these measures, and really any quality measures, is that they do not represent the entire spectrum of standard of care. There is only a sampling of some diseases, and even within those diseases, there are some measures that provide a way to assess quality. But again, they do not represent the entire spectrum of care that should be delivered. Sometimes an unintended consequence is that clinicians focus too closely on these measures rather than the bigger picture of overall care. These are some of the prevention measures. One is breast cancer screening, the percent of eligible women screened in the last 2 years. Another is colorectal cancer screening, the percent with appropriate screening, And of course, there are different ways to screen for cancer, such as sigmoidoscopy or a colonoscopy. An additional measure is cervical cancer screening, for example, pap smears. There is also tobacco use queries, the percent of patients who were asked about the use of tobacco in the last 2 years, and advising those who smoke to quit. Another is influenza vaccine for people between 50 to 64 years old, and the pneumonia vaccination for all who received it. Here is a listing of the diabetes measures related to glycolated hemoglobin, or HbA1c management, and how good of control patients are in, blood pressure, lipids, eye exams, and so forth. There are also quality measures for inpatient settings. Much of this activity focuses around an organization, or actually a collaboration of organizations, called the Hospital Quality Alliance, or HQA. The HQA includes the CMS, the Joint Commission, and others who have created a starter set of quality measures for various conditions, initially focused in four areas. The Hospital Compare Project is a voluntary program where organizations that submit these quality measures have them published on a website so individuals can compare one hospital with another with regards to these quality measures. The HQA project actually consists of two programs based on reporting that is done to CMS. One part is the reporting of hospital quality data for annual payment update, or RHQ-DAPU. This is for the HQA data in the four areas, and hospitals that do not participate actually have a 2% reduction in their Medicare reimbursement. There is another collection of information that are not process quality measures, but are patient satisfaction measures. This is the Hospital Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers, or HCA-PHS. And it is a measure of patient satisfaction that is also reported as part of the Hospital Compare Project. Here are the HQA categories and some examples within them. The broad categories are myocardial infarction, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical infection prevention. Within them are a variety of mainly process measures, and these are the quality measures that are reported within HQA and made available on the Hospital Compare website. Among the measures for myocardial infarction are things like aspirin at arrival of the hospital, when the diagnosis is made and discharged, and inpatient mortality. For heart failure, the provision of discharge instructions and the evaluation of the patient's left ventricular systolic function are measures. For pneumonia, the measures include time to blood cultures and antibiotics, as well as vaccinations for pneumococcus and influenza. For surgical infection prevention, the measures look at prophylactic antibiotics as well as prophylaxis for deep venous thrombosis. There are some other quality initiatives in the inpatient setting that are not tied into the U.S. government and Medicare reimbursement. A long-standing, ongoing project is the National Surgical Quality Improvement Program, or NISQIP. This is an effort mainly led by the American College of Surgeons to measure, risk adjust, and improve the quality of surgical care. For organizations that are academic medical centers, there is the University Health System Consortium, or UAC, which was once called the University Hospital Consortium. The focus of UAC is on quality measurements for benchmarking academic medical centers. Data is provided to UAC and reports are returned to each organization. Some of you may be part of these organizations and be familiar with the green and red dots, anywhere from 1/2 to 1 to 2 of each of these representing positive deviation or negative deviation from the standard of quality.